love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
It's time to go one-on-one with DP. Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC Studios, here is your host, Derek Pearson. Brought to you by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Boom! In your face. In your face, Harrison. Respectfully.
That's all right. This is good. This
respectfully.
Deservedly.
In your face. Tuesday Night Live on the Ticket. 402-464-5685 is the Starter Heyman text line. You want to be a part of what we're doing? And you do tonight. You want to be a part of what we're doing. Text in, hit me with a what's up, and I'll include you in the show. Special guest. It's going to be a good one. You can follow on all the live video streams. Facebook, YouTube, X, Allo Channel 961 Cable, and then Amazon Prime. If you have not downloaded the Ticket app to go wherever you go, take us with you. Please do so. Download the Ticket app and then follow us on all of the social media streams, especially. Also, I'm going to ask you to follow this special young man sitting in studio. We got a good one tonight, and I'm happy because it's an opportunity to give some light and some shine, give flowers to a local young man who's doing it well, and his journey is spectacular to get here. Luke Lindenmeyer of the Huskers joins us. Luke, first of all, thank you for doing this.
Of course. Thanks for having me. It's an honor.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Being a local high school player who grew up watching this and doing this, but I always tell people, your first time in studio, there's no chance I can get to everything I want to ask you over the course of the hour. Which is why we also offer you your own show so that you can tell people these stories yourself. In order for folks to know who you are, they have to know who you come from. Mm-hmm. You come from a family that's rock solid. Please talk to our listeners about your family.
So my family, my mom, Cynthia, my dad, Vince, and then I got a older sister, Carly. And my mom was a minister. Growing up, so I always went to church, and I would always listen to her preach every week, and just grew up around a loving family who instilled a good faith in me. So I was lucky to have a strong foundation of my faith and just believing and trusting in God. And you know, they were both in the military, and my mom was in the military, but she had retired when she was pregnant with me, and my dad served another. Like 18 years, and he retired, I want to say, when I was in middle school, and we ended up here. I was actually born in West Point, New York, and we moved around, ended up in Papillion, Nebraska when I was in third grade, and I just stayed in that area, went to Papillion La Vista High School, and yeah, kind of followed the footsteps of my sister of where she went to school, and she went to Colorado State, and now she's married in Arizona right now.
What's the family mantra? What are the things that are said most in the Lindenmeyer household?
My dad always taught me to take initiative when I was little, and always like household chores, doing the dishes, mowing the lawn, like not having him tell me to do it, but just taking initiative and just doing it without anybody having to tell me. And I feel like that's like the biggest blessing I could have had, because I took all of that and just transformed it into football and training and just working hard and earning everything.
But football wasn't your first love.
No.
That's the first love. Man. He's a hooper.
I am.
He's a hooper. So talk to me about Luke Lindenmeyer, the hooper.
Well, I played that since that was the first sport I played, I'm pretty sure. I didn't play tackle football until sixth grade. And I played basketball I love basketball. I wanted to go to college for basketball. It wasn't until like my sophomore year where my high school coach convinced me to go all in for football. I actually wasn't going to play football my sophomore year, and I was just going to try to go all in on basketball. And yeah, but I remember coming here third grade, and I was going into fourth grade. And I was trying out for a new like local junior Monarchs team in Papillion La Vista. And it's actually funny how it all worked out. Eric Ingerson, his dad, Mike Ingerson, was the coach of the team. He never saw me before, and he said, he still tells me the story to this day. He saw me catch a ball and just do 1-2 layup, and like he's never seen like a big fourth grader do that. Something simple as that. And then, yeah, I played with Eric's older brother, Kyle Ingerson, and we played together all throughout high school. And, you know, my hoop dreams are still alive.
Well, we have a basketball show. Sam Hoiberg is in there, and he is also of the walk-on makeup, right? So he understands the discipline and the hard work required to do that. So, and there have been times here in recent Husker history where athletes crossed over. Mm-hmm. Brent Banks he got the phone call. Yep. You know, hey, so I'm not sure that it's out of reach for you. That may be a thing.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Describe your game. Describe your game. Like if you would describe your basket, your hoop game. Who do you play like?
My teammates say I play like Luka. Smooth. nothing crazy. Nothing too flashy. I'd rather shoot the three than drive.
Okay.
I actually challenged Connor Asijan to a 3-point contest.
How'd it go?
Not good. I don't want to make excuses, but you know, I did do a boxing workout before. I don't know why I did it. I thought if I woke up early enough and did a boxing workout before that my arms would be ready, but they were not. So I talked to him about a rematch coming up, hopefully.
I think we need to cover it.
That would be
we
awesome.
Need to do it live. Like we need to do it live, and we have you against Connor and let it happen. Through all of it. Football has figured out that the tight end position is kind of the ideal spot for basketball athletic big men. And what are you, 6'5"?
6'3".
6'3"? 6'3". What do you walk? What's your walk around weight right about now?
Like 250.
250. And is that what you're going to play at? Or do you think
probably up, around there?
Upper little. You comfortable with that at 250?
Yeah.
You like that weight. That's you don't have the desire to go to 260 just to be able to push people around in the Big Ten.
I think I played around 260 for some games last year.
Yeah,
just because I was enjoying food a little bit too much.
well, you have the best meal plan in all of the Big Ten.
It's insane. We are so blessed to have that. Like we have our NFL guys come back here and they're like, "Dang, I missed this."
It's a different world now. Mm-hmm. What's your caloric intake? Like, what do you put in?
I have no idea. I do not count my calories, but I do focus. Like, I haven't this summer. I've been locked in. I'm like kind of like staying away from sweet treats.
Yeah,
because I love me some chocolate and some ice cream.
Don't say that on air because it'll show up here. Our listeners. The moment you tell them what your vice is, they're coming.
Hey, I'm gonna stay strong. I'm gonna stay strong.
And Harrison will tell you there have been a lot of athletes who have come and done shows here. And our kitchen, where we get food delivered every day, and the athletes know that secondary meal, that third meal, fourth meal, they just go in our kitchen and they make a to-go box. And like today was Tipsy Tina's. So it just we got to warn you.
We also got that Beatrice Bakery, so don't spend too much time looking at that when you're getting coffee from the mill.
Yeah, Luke, we give you warning. That's all. Like we give you warning because we don't want you to go through it. Luke Lindemeyer joins me here on One-on-One, and again, I'm appreciative of the young man, and I wanted to spend the first segment talking about some of these mission statements because it is important. I come from a family of ministers, so I understand how important it is. How do you cope with that? That in a world of college football, it's not always ideal to be that young man, like to have that much faith and to be loud and proud about it. How do you carry that? Because that is a strong, powerful statement to say that, you know what, this is what I come from and this is who I am.
I mean, yeah, it's just, you know, I believe in God and Jesus Christ for dying for my sins. And like, if I know that, like, why would I hide that? Why would I not want to live that out? And I went to a conference in January after the bowl game. And there was an analogy made that, you know, if you're working at a company and say that you have the answer to like all of your employees, all your customers' needs, and all your only job is to press the send button. That's like the same thing that we have. Like, we know the good news, and there's a lot of people out there that don't know the good news. So why would we not just tell them? And why would we not like live it out? And then Coach Brown actually mentored me like all the time I've been here. And he said, when people see how Luke's living, they want to be like, dang, what's he got?
It is a part of why Coach Brown and I have the relationship that we do. And he comes in whenever he has time and it's off season, and we have these conversations. And always being able to transfer to athletics, mm-hmm. and the grind is what either highlights your faith or highlights the fact that it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And it's important for young people, especially here in Nebraska, to be able to say, you know what, this is who I am and this is what we're mm-hmm. doing. Through all of that, your journey into this thing, in choosing Nebraska, I love to ask Nebraska athletes this question. Why Nebraska? Why did you choose Nebraska?
Well, at the time, the only offer I had, like actual offer from, you know, a good school was Army West Point. And
you just low-keyed Army West Point. I just want to point that.
Yeah, my parents might not be happy.
You're just like, yeah, low-key, you know, West Point.
But I had that and then a preferred walk-on from Nebraska.
Okay.
And I had like two sides of people telling me different things from high school. Like, go to Army. Like, it's guaranteed money. It's guaranteed job out of college. And both my parents went there. I'd be following in their footsteps, be a great story. And then I had, you know, other people telling me like you could really do this thing. And the main person telling me that, who believed in me when I didn't believe in myself, was my mentor, Yano Jones, who passed away around this time last year.
Yeah, just recently.
And yeah, like him instilling that belief in me, even when like I didn't even think I could play college football around my junior year, like, it was when people started reaching out to high school for recruiting from colleges. And like, I didn't really hear that much. And I was starting to wonder, like, can I even play like at a high level? And he's the one who was like, I was at his garage. He had a little garage in his house, and I was working out, sweating so hard. He made that thing so humid. And he was talking about draft day for the NFL. I was like, dude, I don't even have an offer for college yet. We're talking about the NFL draft. And that's just how much like belief he had on me. So with all that, I decided to take a chance on myself and come here and do something special, play in the Big Ten, play at the place where I grew up in, and surround myself with people that I grew up playing with too. Like Gage Stanger, I the first team I played on in sixth grade, he was on it. So once he flipped from K-State to Nebraska, mm-hmm. I was like, dang, what if I played with some people that I knew? That'd be kind of cool. That would be kind of fun.
Is that missed in the recruiting conversation? Like the connection to people?
Maybe. I don't know. I wasn't all in the recruiting thing, but I think for me at least, I would want a familiar face of where I'm going to. I mean, there's other people who want like a fresh start, new beginning, but like, I like having that fresh face, someone I could connect with right off the bat, and then build other connections off of that.
Talk to me. You mentioned Yano Jones. Just talk mm-hmm. to me about the late, great Mr. Jones, mm-hmm. Because his impact, I mean, he positively affected a large portion of this mm-hmm. community. What was he to you?
He was like my football dad, because my dad was, you know, he was a great dad, but he never really understood like football that much and like my athletic journey as much as he did. And no, he just took me in as like a son, like right away. And like the first day I met him, I remember, who the heck is this guy? Like, I'm coming to his garage to work out. And then he just treated me like family from the get-go. He called me all the time, asked how I'm doing, He just cared about me so much, not only as a football player, but as a person. And he allowed me to just be me. And even when I got here, you know, he kept calling me every week, asking how I was doing, what I was doing. He kept encouraging me. You know, when I was a freshman, that whole summer, they put out a list of who was going to be in fall camp and who wasn't. Mm-hmm. And all summer, I wasn't on that list until the last day. And Yano just was calling me, stay in that playbook. You're gonna be ready. Stay ready. They're gonna call you. And you know, he kept my hopes up. And when I could have easily just tumbled and gave up on it, he picked me up.
I heard a thing said about you, and it stopped me. I've been around the game for a long time. It's been a minute since I heard somebody identified as 10th string. 10th string.
It was actually more than that.
Right? Like, it stopped me in my tracks to say, I mean, we understand the walk-on game and that it is a positional situation as well, because some situations have deeper depth charts than others, right? You don't have 10 quarterbacks, right? It's just not there. But to be that deep down, even as a walk-on, you're right. You have to have some belief, faith, and a support system that pushes you, and then you have to have the work ethic you talked about, that you're going to outwork. Do you think that you have to outwork everybody else? Is that a part of your thinking?
It was, which kind of brings to another point. Like, that whole freshman year, I saw all those like 11 or 12 guys in front of me, whatever it was. I was like, I'm just gonna be better than them. I'm gonna do more than them. I'm gonna keep watching them. And if I'm just better than them, then I'm good. But then it got to a point where I was just comparing myself all the time. And that mentally and spiritually just drained me. And it got to a point where I just felt like empty. Like, why was I still doing this? And it wasn't until like last season or a year and a half ago where I started competing with myself, actually. And instead of comparing like my skill set and like how hard I'm working to someone else, I compare it to myself. And just instead of looking at other people, I was content with the effort that I put out. Because my 100%, you know, it might be someone else's 80% because they're just gifted so much more than me. But if I know I'm giving it my all, and like each rep I'm offering as a sacrifice to God, and I'm just putting out all my effort, because whatever I do, whether I eat or drink, I do it all to the glory of God, then I know that I'm pleasing my Creator.
Through all of this, right, that you change over the course of each work. They say, the phrase 1% better. Mm-hmm. But I think it's more than that, because you're determining your work value. You know whether you're working hard or not. Mm-hmm. You know whether you're studying enough. You know if you're getting enough rest. And then you know if you know enough about what the Huskers want to do offensively, that you're set. That you're set. Chaos can only exist when you don't know what's coming. How prepared are you? How much time in a week do you think you spend in a playbook?
It's gone down over the years, I will admit. But my freshman year, I just remember we had a week off before fall camp. And I just went back home because we were moving out of our house because my parents moved to Florida. Once I came here, they just booked it, retired. And I remember every day I would just study the playbook. I didn't take it as a vacation because I knew what I was going into. I knew I was going to be last. I knew I was like every day I could be sent home and they would bring one of the older tight ends to replace me. So I knew like I couldn't afford to not know the plays. Like the playbook in my mind was the least. Like, that was the bare minimum, to know the playbook. And if I didn't know that, then as a walk-on, I was screwed.
Yeah, and it also wouldn't matter how talented you are if you don't know what that is. I think for the big part of it is also identifying the academic workload. The coach and me always ask players pretty quickly in a conversation, what's your GPA? Because it tells me how you do anything is how you do everything. So, Luke, talk to me. What's the GPA?
I think it was a 3.78.
And where does that rank with you? Are you happy with it?
I mean, I changed my major to finance, and that's a lot harder than business administration, so I'm pretty happy with it.
Hey, listen, don't slight us business administration majors. Like, we, there was, I actually was going to be an accounting major, and then baseball literally was like, no, we're going over to business administration. That's how that's going to work. So I understand. I do understand it. 3.78, that puts you in a very special category. I explain to people, and Harris and I have had this conversation, that if you take the same level of talent and then show me the GPA changes the chart. It changes your location and elevation on the chart, because your value to me is, I know that 23rd hour, there's not going to be any Luke Lindenmeyer academic emergencies. I'll be able to trust you. I'll be able to rely on you. And you're not carrying the stress of, hey, coach, I'm not doing well over here. Because if you're not doing well in the classroom, it shows up at practice. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair assessment of how things process?
Yeah.
That, you know, I as a coach, you just want to say to people, you are who you are. And how you work in the classroom shows up here and vice versa. And it's important. Luke, we'll take a break. When we come back, here's where I want to go with it. Because as you say, if it's 10th team, 12th team, and then the movement up, I'll ask you why you moved up. What changed? Something had to change. Mm-hmm. And whether it's knowledge, experience, or whatever it was, I'll ask you to fill me in on what it is. And then I'm going to ask you about some of your teammates. I'm going to ask you to give me the five hardest workers on this year. Oh, so, yeah, I've given you time over the break to work on your list. Luke Lindenmeyer joining me here on One-on-One.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back to One-on-One on a Tuesday Night Live. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
It's been a great first segment. I kind of thought along the way that we often try to identify what a Husker is. Like, and within Husker football, there's a lot of backward-looking to glory, right? Back what it used to be. While missing some of the quality young people who are in the program now, Luke, they're going to be Husker fans who, when they get to know you, are going to go crazy over you. Because you are an example of everything that they want their young Huskers to be. Now, I'll ask you this question before we get into the toughness conversation. But what's it mean to be a Husker to you?
Well, I didn't really know what it meant that much. I honestly didn't watch Nebraska.
Well, that's the point. That's why I asked the question. I kind of knew.
I didn't really watch Nebraska growing up that much. I mean, I came to a game. I came to the Akron game years ago and lost that one. And
you still came. You still showed up.
We were actually sitting on the Akron side because my dad had a friend from the military whose son played. So, but when I came here, it was just different because I didn't really go to many games when I was getting recruited, but thankfully Yano brought me along to some of them that he was invited to. I can just tell the fans were just different. I came to every home game my senior year of high school, and it was just, I never experienced anything like it before. And I knew after it was Purdue 2022. And I just like, yeah, I'm going to come here because there's nothing like this. Like the fans, the energy. I didn't even see the facilities yet. The facilities are insane. They elevated even more this past year. But then you see the guys who have been here, the guys who have won national championships, the guys who have played pro and are coming back to speak. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them said they'd rather be playing here still than in the NFL. And that, I mean, that means something because a lot of times people, they'll use college as like a way to get to the NFL and that's it. But I mean, Nebraska, this is a lifetime thing. Like, I came here and I was like, I'm going to finish my career here just because all the opportunities that I'll have.
Let me ask you about your first time in an actual game, dressed out, coming through the tunnel. Like tunnel walk. Walk me through tunnel walk, your first one as a Husker.
Oh, that would have been the first game was Ireland. I didn't suit up for that one. That trip was amazing. but I think it was North Dakota. It was either North Dakota or Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And man, the smoke, it just cleared. And then you just see roaring red. And it's just, it was insane. I'm getting goosebumps right now just thinking about it. And like, you're speechless. Like, there's nothing you do. Like, every game now, I didn't do this until like I kind of got used to it. I just take it all in. I'll do a circle. Like, I'll just do a circle while I'm running just to take it all in. Because, I mean, Bryce Benhart last year is the 6th year. And he kept saying, this never gets old. It's his 6th year doing it. Never right, gets old.
Right. That so much of it. And I think it shows wisdom that you're capturing it now. Mm-hmm. Right. That you're capturing it now. And I guarantee you just gave goosebumps to every Husker fan. That heard you talk about it because it's what Husker fans think it's like, mm-hmm. but to hear somebody say, yeah, this is actually what it's like. It's as cool as you think it
it's
is.
So cool.
It's awesome. Is there anywhere you've been that was, that you talked about Ireland? Talk to me about the Ireland trip, even not dressing out.
I think not dressing out was a blessing because the day before the game, they had all the guys who weren't dressing out hike this mountain. And I think the strength coaches had no idea like how hard the hike was. There were some times where we were like vertically like climbing rocks and we just got on the top of the mountain and you could just see a view of like the entire island. Almost you could see the beach, you see mountains, and it was just amazing and just breathtaking. Like I love to travel. I want to travel a lot when I'm older. And that was a free trip to Ireland. Amazing.
Well, you had kind of put in the work already, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's there. That's really not bad for a walk-on, right? That
was my first 3 months of being in college, and I'm in Ireland. That was awesome.
I mean, how hard are the camps? Talk to me about the camps. What's the most difficult thing about the camp?
Fall camp, 100%. It's just every day. I've grown to actually kind of like it. And now I don't know. It's my 4th year doing fall camp. But I remember freshman year and sophomore year, it was just like a football summer camp oasis. Like outside life, non-existent. Like you're just doing football every day, 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. And you're just around the same guys and making a lot of memories. And you're tired. Like your body feels terrible, but I mean, I know I'm like never going to do things like this again once my football career is over. So, I mean, it sucks now, but I mean, no discipline. Nobody enjoys discipline, but later, like everybody receives the fruits that it has.
Harrison and I talk about this quite a bit. And I say to him as a coach, you want to pay attention to how much somebody loves doing the hard stuff. Like be as a coach looking for athletes. How much do you love doing the hard stuff? Because it tells me how you're going to get through your friction.
Honestly, I hate it. Like, I would much rather, you'd much rather be building my Legos
Are you you're a Lego guy?
I'm a Lego guy, 100%.
Oh, see. Never.
But I think the hard work sucks, but it's like during it, but the feeling like after is just so worth it. Because like, you feel like you've done something. Like you went through something that was hard and you made it out and you're here. Like you survived. I think a big stepping stone in my college career, I read both of David Goggins' books. And man, that guy went through some stuff and just the mentality he had. I think applying that to football has done tremendous things. Just worth it. Worth
it. You just said a thing that, again, tells me a lot, that as a reader, it puts you in a unique category of Division I Power 4 football players. Mm-hmm. What else are you reading?
The Bible. I try to carry this pocket Bible around with me everywhere and just staying in the Word. There's a coach that came in and helped us, and we've been reading a psalm every day since about, today was day 99. So 99 days ago, it was 150 days until the first game. It was 150 psalms, so we were in a psalm a day. And this month, there's 31 days. There's 31 Proverbs. So I've been reading a Proverbs a day.
What is the psalm you're walking with right now?
That I'm walking with?
Yeah.
I say I'm praying the most through is Psalm 3, 5 through 6. Okay. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will make straight your paths. And just giving my all to the Lord and just trusting in him and not in my own way. Because there's another proverb, Proverbs 14:12 or 12:14. I don't want to get it mixed up, but it says, "A man that follows his own ways, its path leads to death." And every time I like try to do something myself, like it never works out. But every time I give it to God and let him work it out for me, and then trust that path and just pray through everything. That's all worked out so far.
Pray and work through it. I'm telling y'all that in the discussion about having Luke Lindemeyer on, I immediately went to that he cannot just be here once. He has to have regular conversation. Because to find, and Harrison, we've been doing this together off and on for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And Harrison knows that I'm a pretty good judge and gauge.
Yeah, it's worked pretty well so far. I mean, you were hanging out with the wrestlers a lot this summer, and you got two national champions.
Wait, to identify, have you met AJ Ferrari?
Yeah, I met him in the training room, and he's a guy. Right?
Yeah, it's always interesting to me that you don't have to be the same, but you do have to have same core. Mm-hmm. And the fact that people of similar core tend to magnate to each other. They get to each other pretty quickly and they accumulate. And I think that's what's happening in this program. And you give me faith and you give me hope in this program because they're good young men in it. Luke Lindemeyer joining me here on One-on-One. The challenge is this, Luke. Make your own list. It's Luke's list of five.
So
the five toughest, the hardest working teammates.
So to make it fair,
okay,
I decided to do all walk-ons.
Okay, this list. And you could not be wrong by this list.
And first, I'm gonna go with my guy. He actually just moved in with me 2 days ago in my house, Jalen Gramstead. Just a guy who came in last year, shorter on the quarterback side, but man, he is a worker. Like anytime I need someone to throw, he's always willing, and he's just like a guy willing to serve. And as soon as he moved in to my house, he was like, yeah, we're going to fix up the basement. The basement's a little messy. We're going to be grilling out back. I'm going to be mowing the lawn. And I was just like, wow, I'm glad to have a guy like you in my life.
Harrison, you taking notes, right?
Yeah, I'm taking notes.
We're not letting Luke and his roommate. Luke and Dylan need to be on the regular call list, right? So they're going to be grilling out back. Like, there are things that we need to know.
Yeah, Jalen Graham's dad.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go with another one of my roommates who was one of my better friends my freshman year. We always hung out in the suites, and he's been through a lot to get here, Dylan Parrott. And he's just been a walk-on and, you know, hasn't really got what he's earned, really, just because of shortened of scholarships and stuff. But he still just goes to work every day. Probably one of the strongest and fastest bigs. Like, he is a freak of nature. Like, we do DEXAs, like body scans. His muscle mass is more than like a lot of NFL.
How big is he?
He's like 320. I don't want to be wrong.
No,
but his muscle, he's 320 with like less than 20% body fat. So I don't know what that math is, but it's insane.
Get it in, bro. Get it in.
And then I'm going to go with another guy in my class that I walked on with, Roman Mangini, who, you know, hasn't really seen the field much at all, other than some special teams that he's worked his way on. But another guy who, you know, hasn't really been paid at all, but it still comes to work every day. Everybody in the locker room loves him. He always has a smile on his face. Like, you always talk to him. It's like those kind of guys. Like, you know that they probably aren't getting what they deserve, but they're still like, have that smile on their face and still coming to work.
Well, they get to be a Husker.
Mm-hmm.
And to be around it, because they're getting better in their lives every day. Yeah. That they do this thing. And that 105 number, people want to play with it and try to. But I say the people behind it matter more.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that people are choosing to be a part of the program and putting in the work speaks volumes about walk-ons. Who's walk-on number four?
Jacob Bauer, who's not a walk-on anymore, and he deserves to be on that list because every day he is just always doing something, getting extra work in. I actually just today, we were doing a grip workout. He was doing a grip workout, and I wanted to join him. I wanted to get some extra work in. I just want to go home. And it was so hard, but it was just the craziest thing. It was like curling a barbell with, there was a kettlebell attached with the band, and you're curling it up until the kettlebell like reached the top. And you had to do that three times. Like, I never worked out my forearms like that before. And this guy does like extra stuff like that every single day. And like, as I was leaving today, he was just getting done from the weight room. I was like, hey. So he's definitely on that list. And then the last guy has been my lifting partner all summer. And he's a tight end, Danny King. And he's another walk-on from Minnesota. And I kind of saw a little bit of myself in him last year, just being a walk-on, being at the bottom. And he's got some savviness to him. Like, he can run routes. He's a tough kid, and he's a hard worker. Like, he challenges me in the weight room, and that's hard to do as a second year guy lifting with a fourth year guy.
It is fascinating that your journey from not knowing if this was going to be your life, and then to making it your life, and then actually growing and excelling in it. And now it appears that you're in a leadership role.
Yeah. It was actually amazing God moment. It was one of the first weeks back in January or February, and I was in that leadership role. Like, I was so used to being behind Thomas and Nate that, you know, I was just content with being like that third guy, like plays but doesn't really have to do any leading because he's got two older guys in front of him. But then I was put in a whole new situation. I didn't think I was ready for it. But I went to a church service, and the message was in Joshua 1. And it was Joshua being like the new leader to take Israel out of the to the promised land. And the preacher just said, Moses is dead. Moses is dead. Like, Joshua, it's your time. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. It says be strong and courageous multiple times in Joshua 1. And I thought he was speaking right to me, because I had no idea that I would be ready for this role. The Lord says, be strong and courageous. Moses is dead.
As my brother, the pastor, would say, let him use you.
Uh-huh.
Let him use you, Luke. We're going to go to break. We'll come back. One more segment with Luke Lindenmeyer here on One-on-One.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Final segment before we hand it over to Ticket Week Night. Terrence and Arnes will take us through till 10 o'clock tonight. Lots to talk about. Lots going on in the sports world. And it's been an interesting hour with young Sir Mr. Lyndon Meyer. Luke, it's a pleasure. Again, I'll say thank you again because I should.
Thank you.
I think Husker fans now have another hero, somebody that they can ride with, knowing you more. The more they know you, the more they're going to ride with you and for you. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think these shows are so important, for you to come in and share yourself with this. We were talking about during the break that I had, just from talking to you, I had the vibe that this can be and might be a player-led team.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Who would the leaders be in your mind?
There was a couple guys that kind of stood out during winter conditioning that we had the program come through, kind of program that kind of military-based stuff. And just teaching leadership, there was people that emerged as like good leaders that kind of built a group of. And those are the guys that have been kind of holding our standard and letting everybody else know things. And holding people accountable, like during our break off on May, our whole month off, just keeping people accountable, making sure that stayed in their playbook and kept working out so we could come back in June and not have to wait on anybody, which we did an amazing job on. It was the first time that, you know, people didn't really struggle that first week of June. And now it's just this whole month's on us before fall camp. So it's a great opportunity for us to really establish the player-led team.
How many days before camp?
I'm trying not to think about it. Just take it day by day.
Like, I know the calendar is just like, oh, man. Because it actually, I would think that it becomes easier as it gets closer, because then you see the light at the end of the tunnel. There is some payoff to the mm-hmm. work you're putting in. Now you're working out for you and in your own space to prepare yourself for everything that comes. This coaching staff is a unique coaching staff. I'm going to ask you, when people ask me about Matt Rhule, they said he seems like a cool guy.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the elevator pitch on Matt Rhule as a coach.
Well, it's actually funny because I've had people come up to me like, is Matt Rhule really everything he seems to be? I was like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't really see him as like as the head coach of Nebraska, as some people see. Like, he's just Coach Rhule. Like, I can come talk to him, joke with him, and talk about faith with him. Just text him, call him whenever I want to.
And he's that coach that you can call him anytime.
Yeah,
because that's not always the case for Power Four coach, yeah. head coaches.
Well, not anytime, but he lets us know when not to call him.
He is a family guy, and he's made it known. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you?
There's like coaches like everywhere probably preach like family, but he actually brings his family around, and then it actually feels like we're a part of it. Like, I'm friends with Bryant, his son. I say hi to Vivian, Leona whenever they're there. He brings his dogs there all the time. We actually got to go to his house during an official visit when I was hosting Luke Sorensen, and a nice house.
Head coach, nice house. Head coach, Power Four, nice house. So, bravo, Coach Rhule, being out there. Luke, thank you. I'm going to ask you to give a message to feed and give nourishment to Husker fans with a message to close out this hour. What would you say to them?
I mean, just thank you for all the support. And, you know, you're saying, like, how it could be a hero to some young Huskers. I just hope that through me, like, I'm a light to like the real hero in Jesus. And I think that's what's been the biggest difference on this team is God is working on this team. And it's been evident through our team prayers, our Bible studies. And, you know, I'm not as excited about the wins this year. I'm excited about how God's going to use this team this year. I'm getting chills right now thinking about it. Like, it's incredible.
You have to put in work. You cannot grow what you haven't planted.
Mm-hmm. Planted seeds.
Amen. There it is. Luke, we will do this again, young man.
Let's do it.
It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure. All right. Don't go anywhere, everybody. Take a week night, Harrison Orange. Tristan Gomes is in the building. So we'll have a really good night here on the ticket. Don't go anywhere. Love yourselves, because we do.